the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said a demon's to blame. But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and he opened our eyes.
Father, we are here. We're thankful. We're grateful for your great love for us, Lord. And we just come today to praise you, to honor you, just to give you thanks and lift up the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We're thankful for the presence of your Spirit. We're thankful, Father, for how through him you have demonstrated most expressly your love for us. And Lord, because of what you've done, because of who you are worthy of praise. You are indeed worthy of us saying hallelujah, praise the Lord. And we're so thankful for your faithfulness towards us, Lord. We're grateful for where you brought us from, thankful for what you have taken us through and the fact that you've been with us, Lord God, during the up times and during the down times. You're always present, Lord. Your word is true. You never leave us. You never forsake us, Lord, even at times when we may feel like you are not present with us, Lord. That does not mean that you're not, Lord. You are always true to what you said in your word. So help us to learn to live on a basis of truth, not on a basis of how we feel, not on a basis of how we see things, Lord God, not according to our own perspective, but according to yours, as you have given us in your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people who are a worshiping people, a people who lift up the name of Christ and who are not afraid nor ashamed, Lord, nor inhibited to give you praise, Lord, to honor your holy name. So we are grateful to be able to gather together today in this place, mindful of the fact that many cannot and many will not, Lord, but we're thankful that we can gather and people who call on your name can gather across this nation and even across the world. And so together with them, we've come to proclaim your excellencies, Lord. We proclaim your goodness, your kindnesses towards us, Lord. And this is about you and not really about us. We're grateful indeed, Father, for the benefits that we receive. Lord, we're thankful for those. But Lord, we start with you. Our eyes are on you, and we give you thanks. So you deal with us, Lord, deep within our souls and our minds. You know where we are, and you know where you need to take us. And so we say thank you, Lord, and as you open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your word. We thank you, Lord, for loving us, and we're learning to love you in return. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Turn with me, if you would, as we step into May. May is here already, huh? Yeah, May is here already. So we're thankful to be able to be here on this May. And turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. You know, we'll start today, and I think we'll finish up after Mother's Day. We'll come next week with something from Mother's Day, and then we'll finish up, even though my intention was to finish up with verses 1 through 3 today. That won't happen. So we'll do what we can do today, and we'll come back after Mother's Day and finish up. And as we visit again, Psalm 147, Psalm of praise, amen? It's a psalm of praise. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. Amen. Amen. My title for this message, these couple of messages, is My Hallelujah Belongs to You. My Hallelujah Belongs to You. And I steal that. You all know the song. My Hallelujah Belongs to You. And really, I'm looking at, you know, why he is worthy of us even saying hallelujah to him. And probably next time we'll say, My Hallelujah Belongs to You, because you're the God who heals us. Yeah, he's Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals us. He's Jehovah Roi. He's the God who sees, you know. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's the banner, you know, over us and around us. He's all these things. So because he's all these things, he is worthy of our praise, worthy of us saying hallelujah to him. Why is the Lord worthy of our praise? We have to think about that. And why shouldn't we be silent? And why should we in some way? And I'm not saying you have to jump and shout. You may be a jumper or a shouter. I don't know. You may be one that raise your finger in the air or clap your hands or stomp your feet. But in some way, somehow, it just comes from you. However it comes, we praise the Lord. I'm reminded, even as I stand here, before I move forward quickly, when you remember when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, and the Pharisees heard them saying, Hosanna. Hosanna, which really means save us now, but it came to be an exclamation of praise. And they were saying that as Jesus was riding in on that donkey, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were saying, tell them to be quiet. And you remember Jesus' response. He said, I can't tell them to be quiet, because if they be quiet, the rocks are going to cry out in praise, because the king, is coming. And so we can't help, at least as disciples of Christ, that should be us. We can't help but to praise our God, because praise is a part of the prayer life of the disciple of Jesus. If you're a disciple of Jesus, then praise comes from you quite naturally, as it should, or supernaturally. It should come from us. And our objective is to be disciples who declare the praises of the Lord. Simply as that. That we're disciples who declare the praises of the Lord, because praise is a part of prayer. It's a part of the prayer life and worship life of the disciples. A couple of things for today. Overarching point is this, that disciples of Jesus are inclined to praise the Lord. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are inclined to praise the Lord. The psalmist says, praise the Lord. He says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah is the term there. It's a Hebrew term. And actually, it's two words. It's Hallel, which is praise, and Yah, which is a shortened term for Yahweh. And so it's praise Yahweh. Hallel Yahweh. Praise the Lord. And it came to be translated into one word, hallelujah, into the English text. And so that's why we say hallelujah. But when we're saying that, it's really two words. Praise Lord. Praise Yahweh. And really, it was interesting, as you go back and do a little research on some of these words and you think about it, you know, in light of in light of context and in light of what people were going through, that word Hallel by itself, praise, is interesting. It was interesting to me to note that part of the root of its meaning, or its meaning, is to shine. And, you know, I'm thinking about, okay, shining forth, the Lord, shine forth, shine a light on Yahweh. And we shine a light on God. When we're praising, that's what we're doing. We're shining a light on him. It's not on us. It's not about you. It's not about me. We're shining the light on him. Hallelujah is an exclamation. Praise the Lord. And, you know, when you have an exclamation point, it's something that, you know, it jumps out at you. It's like, that's great, you know, and that's what we're saying. Praise the Lord. It's a statement of exclamation before our God. You've probably heard it said that hallelujah is the highest praise. You've heard that, right? Who hasn't heard that? Hallelujah is the highest praise. If you're like me, though, right, you've wondered why. Why is that the highest praise? Have you ever wondered that? You know, sometimes we go along with stuff and we don't wonder the why. Well, I'm always asking why. You know, why is that? You know, I don't like doing things out of a vacuum. I like thinking about it and putting it together because it has more meaning, just like tracing hallelujah back. You know, you see, hey, we're shining the light. We're praising the Lord. We're lifting him up. And, you know, that gives more substance to saying hallelujah. I'm not just going along with the crowd. You know, I know the background of it. And I can understand what it's saying. But we've heard hallelujah is the highest praise. But the Bible doesn't say directly that this is the case. You won't find in the Bible hallelujah is the highest praise. You won't find that. But the case is made for hallelujah being a high form of praise to the Lord. Why is that? Because of the frequency of its use and the context in which it is used and the people from whom it comes from. Hallelujah is the highest praise. I think we're okay with saying it. Repetition in the Bible is an indicator of the importance of the topic or the word that's being used. So whenever the Spirit of God highlights something and whenever it's repeated, it's important. It's like he's shining light on that. This is important. This is important. So hallelujah, the word itself, it occurs some 22, 24 times in the book of Psalms. So it keeps coming up 22, 24 some odd times. Then, you know, something about that. You know, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We read in the Gospels where the Lord, and thinking about the importance of it, we read in the Gospels where the Lord established the Lord's Supper, right? We'll take part in the Lord's Supper today. And that after Jesus and the disciples finished the Passover meal, what did they do? What does the Bible say? It says they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn. Well, and that's why we sing after communion. You know, that song that we will sing after communion, we're not just doing that. We tack things, I want to think about things merely as tradition, but again, why? Why do we sing that song, you know, after we take part in the Lord's Supper? Well, we sing it because it's a song of praise. It's a song of thanksgiving, and it's a song of honor to God our Savior, and we are told that the hymn that Jesus, or the hymns that Jesus and the disciples actually sang were probably psalms. Probably psalms. Scripture does not tell us the exact psalms that Jesus and the disciples sang. And I made parenthetically, I said here, isn't it instructive? Because it's instructive to me to note that Jesus actually sang. You ever think about that? We think about our Lord doing everything else. He raised people from the dead, you know. He opened the eyes of the blind and whatnot. But Jesus was a singer. Jesus sang. It says they took part in the Lord's Supper and they sang a hymn. Jewish tradition informs us that the Passover meal, when Jews take part in the Passover meal, when it was concluded by singing. They sang songs. The last portion of what's called the Hallel. And the Hallel is comprised of Psalms 113 through 118. So if you go through that, those are Psalms where God is praised. All the Psalms themselves, that's the Israelite hymn book, if you will. But there are special Psalms, specific Psalms, where that hallelujah, praise the Lord, is getting in there, is put in there. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. They say it at the beginning or they say it at the end. That's where it is here in Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then he goes on to give reasons why. The psalmist here begins the psalm and ends the psalm with what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus sang at the end of the Passover. He sang in joyous celebration of praise and thanksgiving to Father God. And if he did it, we should too, right? So should we. Jesus sang praises to the Father, and we should sing praises to the Lord as well. And when we're talking about singing praises to the Lord, when you think about it in the Old Testament, talking about the Lord, we're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's Yahweh. Yahweh. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I thought about the fact that we hear of people extending a shout out to people. You ever give a shout out to somebody? Yeah, you go on the boob tube or the YouTube and whatnot, and people up there, they giving shout outs to people. Hey, they giving those expressions of greeting, of praise, of acknowledgement towards people. For something they did, a performance, or whatever it is, they give them a shout-out, right? Well, here, my brothers and sisters, here's our life lesson for us. That hallelujah, as the psalmist says, as he exclaims, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah is a shout-out of praise to the Lord. It's a shout-out to the Lord. It is shining the light on him and his praise shining forth from us, his people. Praising him for who he is and what he's done. That's what hallelujah is about. The people of God ought to shine the light on the one who has saved us and gives us life each day. If we can't, or if we don't, or won't, hallel Jehovah, or praise God, then something is wrong. Something's going on with us, and not him. Something is amiss in our hearts if we can't hallelujah him. The devil certainly doesn't want us praising the Lord. He'd rather us keep our mouths shut, keep our hands folded, rather than say, praise the Lord our God. Because he wants the satisfaction of the Lord not getting from his people the recognition that he is due. But disciples of Jesus habitually praise the Lord our God. It's just a habit. It should become a habit. If it's not a habit, let us put a stake in the ground today and say, I'm going to make it a habit to praise the Lord, my God. We are inclined to praise. That's what we're talking about when we say we're inclined. It's part and parcel to who we are and what we do. And what we want is to grow to the point that we just can't help but to praise the name of the Lord our God. I just can't help myself. You know, we got some things, we just can't help ourselves with this or that in our lives. Well, as disciples of Jesus, we should be those who just can't help but to praise our God. You know, it's not a mere
ritual. We're not talking about mere rituals. We're not talking about a religious practice, anything like that, that we engage in when we get together. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about praising the Lord. If that's where you are, then it's time to get some things straight in your mind and heart. Because Isaiah 29 and 13 says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips. Yeah, you doing some stuff is coming out of your mouth. But he says, their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Just going through the motions. Just when you get together with the saints, you doing what they do, because that's what they do. The Lord says, no, that's not worship. That's not praise. That's not giving me the hallelujah. But whether private or public, praise is a matter of relationship. It's a matter of relationship. It is a heart to heart. And this is the way I'm seeing it in my own life and pass on to us. It's a heart to heart engagement. You know how when you're in sync with somebody? You know, your heart is in sync, your mind is in sync, you get in sync with your wife, or you get in sync with your brothers and sisters in Christ, your hearts are knit together. And you're in sync. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about coming together. And the psalmist is saying, praise the Lord. Our hearts are in sync with him. We're engaged with him. It's a heart-to-heart engagement between disciples and the Lord. A life lesson here is this: hallelujah is the overflow, or praising the Lord is the overflow from a heart that is filled with the knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord, not just information, but the knowledge of our great God. A heart that is the overflow from, hallelujah, is the overflow of from a heart that is filled with the knowledge of the Lord, moved by the presence of the Lord, and thankful for the blessings of the Lord in one's life. That's where hallelujah comes from. I know my God. I know who he is. And I know what he's done. And I can see what he's capable of doing in spite of what's happening in my life right now. I know him. And I'm moved by his presence with me. I know that he is with me, and I'm thankful. Yes, I'm thankful for what he's done for me 20 years ago, but I'm thankful for what he's doing for me right now. And I'm also thankful for what I believe he's going to do in the future. Yes, praise is what disciples do from a heart that is knit to his. Interestingly, we wanted to point out today, the term hallelujah is used in only one book in the New Testament. Did you know that? It is used in only one book in the New Testament, the term hallelujah itself. Guess what book that is? Revelation. That's right, in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of praise that goes on in the book of Revelation, right? Let's turn, and I wanted to turn to that. I got to read that today, and we'll just read it and think about it a bit together. In Revelation chapter 19, Revelation 19, beginning at verse 1 and down to verse 6. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, a whole bunch of folk in heaven. And what were they doing? John writes, they were saying, hallelujah, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, right? Yes. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Why is that? Because his judgments are true and his righteousness, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because he has taken care of all of the evil that's taking place in the world. Hallelujah, number one. And a second time they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, number three. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, who fear him, the small and the great. Who's that? That's us. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, whole bunch of folk, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. You know, the great hallelujah chorus is going to be sung when the Lord comes back and does all things new. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you know what? I said this. Even though we see it there, and even though it's future, I think the Holy Spirit is issuing a clarion call to the multitude of disciples here today and around the world to sing hallelujah to the Lord our God right now. Yes. True. We will be gathered with the multitudes one day to sing with all those who have repented and believed in Jesus Christ. Everybody ain't singing hallelujah to the Lord. Everybody can't say praise the Lord. You know that? Yeah, one day we'll be with them. But we don't have to wait until then. We can sing praise the Lord right now. How can we, and I thought to myself, I said, self, how can we not sing praises? How can we not sing praises when we think about the magnitude of Father's love? How can we not sing praises? And his goodness towards us. How can we not sing praises when we think about Jesus and his death on the cross in our place and his resurrection from the grave? How can we not sing praises when we come to this table and think about what it means? How can we not sing praises when we think about the presence and power of the Holy Spirit with us right now? In the midst of whatever is going on in the world and whatever is going on in your personal circumstances, the Spirit of God is with you. How can you not sing praises to him? No, no, my friends, hallelujah is appropriate for the disciples of Jesus who have been called into this personal relationship we have with the God who created us. Hallelujah is appropriate, and that's what the psalmist would say in verse 2, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our life lesson 2 is this that I need to say today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah moves the Lord. It moves the Lord. I was kind of reluctant to write that phrase. But it's true. Hallelujah moves the Lord to lean in to lean in, to listen, and engage with us when we praise. Think about that. You know, sometimes when we're in conversation with people, you kind of lean in, get a little, you know, you lean in towards them, and you know, you're making that connection with them, and they know that you're tuned in to them. If you're doing all other kind of things, you ain't listening to me. But when you lean in, you know, you give the person that indication that, yeah, they're really listening. They're really with me. They're engaged with me. And when the psalmist says, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I believe that the Lord leans in and he listens and he is engaged with us when we praise. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. And by messianic psalm, we simply mean that it's a psalm that points to whom? The Messiah. It points to Jesus. And there are several psalms that say things that it has twofold meaning. It meant something from the psalmist, because the psalmist may have been experiencing it, but it was also a prophetic psalm or a messianic psalm that pointed to something that would be going on in the mind and heart and life of the Messiah, even Jesus Christ himself. So Psalm 22 is one of those psalms. And while if you read the superscript there, the little phrase above Psalm 22, it informs us that it was written by David, we learn from the experience of Jesus himself as we look back, as we look at what he went through on the cross, and as we hear from the gospel writers what Jesus said on the cross, we look back into the Old Testament in Psalm 22, and when we say, that was Jesus. Jesus said that. Jesus experienced that. And we see that. Psalm 22 is one of those psalms that foretold of the experience of Jesus on the cross. But what I wanted to point out here particularly, as it has to do with the Lord, you know, leaning in and listening and engaging, is really verse 3. But let me read verse 1. Can I read verse 1 to you real quickly here? Because you will hear Jesus when I read it. Verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Remember Jesus said that on the cross? Yeah, that's a messianic psalm. It points us to our Savior. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. So while David may have been thinking about his personal experience, the Spirit of God was pointing us to our Savior on the cross and allowing us to enter into what he was experiencing and what he was going through and what he was feeling. That being forsaken by the Father for those moments in time. Why? So that he could save the world. And we could be forgiven of our sin. But then he says, in the midst of all of that, he says, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Did you see that? In the midst of that pain and whatnot, you are enthroned. He still looks up to heaven. And he says, I'm still praising. I'm still praising you. I'm still praising you. Instead of that word enthroned, you have enthroned in here in In the NASB, you haven't thrown, I think maybe the NIV and some other versions. But in the King James Version, some of us are still old King James people. I ain't talking about you, that's okay. It's the Word of God. Funny thing on the side, real quickly here, I was a campus minister at Chicago State, and when I first went there, we had some young people that were there, and I came in the door with my NIV because, you know, the English is much more readable and much more understandable to people. And so I wanted the language to be clear, no barriers there. And they told me, they said, you know, one guy came, he said, the Lord told me to tell you. And so I didn't come, you know, I listened, you know, I give anybody a hearing. But he said, the Lord told me to tell you that you need to get the real Bible, you know, that the NIV, that ain't it. You need to get you a King James Version of the Bible. That was funny to me. I cracked up after I got out of his presence. But the original, the term that the King James uses there is not enthroned. The King James translates the original Hebrew term. Instead of enthroned, they translate it inhabited, right? Those of you who have that version, inhabit. Inhabit. Inhabiteth the praises. Okay. This is where the idea of inhabiting the praise of his people come from. When you talk about the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, we hear that old King James Version. But even in the meaning, my brothers and sisters, of the original term, enthroned gets it too. Because enthroned or inhabit, they both come from the same word, right? Enthroned or inhabit, it's a verb. And it means to sit. I'm coming, I'm sitting. I'm remaining. I'm dwelling. So what is it talking about? If it's talking about, it's saying that, oh, it's saying, you are holy, oh, you who are enthroned upon the praises of his people. You who comes and sits when your people praise. You who comes and dwells there. You who remains there when your people praise. Does that make sense? If you read the psalm in its entirety, though, you will see that the praise is given in the midst of pain. We don't have time to read the whole thing. Go through some time and read the whole thing. But in the midst of pain, the psalmist is talking about the Lord coming and inhabiting, dwelling, sitting there, staying there in the midst of his pain. Pain, praise springs forth from the one who knows he is going to go through. That's Jesus. Praise is on the lips of the one who has been brought through the agony of the crucifixion, and the one who says, all who fear the Lord, praise him. The one who says in verse 23 and 24 of this psalm, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. The Lord is with me in my affliction. He is with me, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. He heard. The psalmist is saying, the Lord, even in the midst of our pain and struggles, when I was going through, the Lord dwelled there with me. He remained there with me. He sat there with me. Stay with me. and catch the vision that Jesus wants us to see. When he talks about the fact that the Lord is enthroned on the praises of his people, or the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, whichever translation you want to use. See, the Lord takes a seat, and he enjoys the accolades of his people in good times and in painful times. He is with us all the time. But praise, like prayer, really gets his attention. He sits in the midst of our hallelujahs. God sits right there. He sits right there. He sits in the midst of our pains and in the midst of our problems when we praise. You might be inclined only to praise him when you get through stuff. No, let's get the right perspective, okay? That doesn't mean you don't feel it. You feel it. You feel the pain, the struggle, the problems that you deal with. We feel that, don't we? But that doesn't mean that we can't praise. That's one thing I walk away with. We still praise. See, in the kingdom of God, we are a praising people. And not just when life is good, as we have defined good, but also when life is painful. See, those are the disciples of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we walk around, hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No, you have to cry sometimes, and we do that. But you can cry and praise, right? Yes. Because when we praise, he remains there. He lingers long to listen in. See that? God listens in to our praise. When we praise him, he dwells there in our presence. You know, music moves us, doesn't it? Yeah, music is the universal language. I've been listening to music for years. Years. Yeah, all of us, we probably had our favorite songs that moved you. Right? I ain't talking about hymns either, right? No, you had to. I know. You don't have to hide. I know where we came from. Isn't it like Paul told the? That's what we used to be. Okay, and every song ain't a bad song. It might be some songs that can be redeemed, you know, out there. But but a lot of the garbage that they putting out nowadays, it's garbage. You know, it's garbage. But there were some songs that we listened to, and probably some songs that we shouldn't have listened to. But we like them. We love. Oh, come on, that's my song. That's my song. We crank it up, right? That's mine. We crank that puppy up, right? Music moves us. You had your favorite songs that moved you, and what did you do? You stayed there with it sometimes. You didn't turn it off. If it was a record, you play that thing over and over and over and over again. You pop in that 8-track tape. And we played that thing over and over and over and over again. We stayed there with it. We stayed there because we were moved by it. We have our favorite hymns or praise and worship songs. What do? Now, we listen to them over and over and over. Why? Because we enjoy them. They move us. They gotta point us to the Lord, and we feel that connectedness with God, right? They take us to a higher ground with our Lord, don't they? Alexa, play the goodness of God. The song goes off. Alexa, repeat that song. Alexa, repeat that song. And then Alexa gets it and she just starts playing it automatically, right? Well, listen. Listen. The psalmist in Psalm 22, verse 3, is saying that singing praises to our Lord, stay with me, moves him. It moves him. He takes note and he takes pleasure in our praise. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't sound all that good to yourself. Some of us don't sing too loud here. We lip sing here. Because we, you know, to us, we don't sound all that good, right? I don't want anybody hearing what I sound like, and I understand that. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're off key. Because praising the Lord is not about performing. Hallelujah is not about a performance. You know, praise and worship team, if you're about performing, then sit down. People in all, if we're about performing, we need to be quiet. It's not about performing. No, it's a matter of the heart. It's our hearts engaged with the heart of our great God. It's about praise from the heart and understanding that God inhabits. He sits there. He dwells with us. He leans in and hears us when we praise. And when we sing praises to the Lord from the heart, it's beautiful music to his ears. And he takes pleasure in our praises. And again, he stays there in the midst of praise. And he lingers, listens in. He listens in. Last thing I'm saying today, and we'll pick up next week. Praise moves us. It moves us. It moves us into the courts of heaven, before the throne of God. The most holy place in the universe. I can't do it justice. Can't do it justice. But you know, it's in my soul, in my spirit, in my mind and heart, that this this interaction is taking place between us and the Lord. Praise the Lord, us and the Lord. This interaction is taking place. When we pray, when we praise, we are in the most holy place in the universe, and that's in the presence of the Lord our God. And he gives us an audience. Gives us an audience. Individually, yes, but collectively, he gives us an audience with the one who rules over the heavens and the earth and all the affairs of our lives. And the psalmist said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord our God. Won't you bow with me in prayer? O Lord our God, we say, hallelujah, praise you, O Lord. And I pray, and we pray together, that you will teach us, that you will help us, that you will break through the barriers in our minds and in our hearts that may be keeping us from praising you. Lord, you do so much in us when we praise. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to see, even through our Lord himself, that you inhabit the praises of your people. God, I pray that we would have that great sense of your presence when we praise. I pray that you would move us, Lord, from merely going through the motions, if that's the case. You will move us to being a people who are engaged, fully engaged with you. And a people who understand that you are fully engaged with your people when we praise. God, help us not to merely go through the motions. Father, help us not to hold back. Help us, Lord. Help us to sing your praise because you're so worthy. You're so worthy. Father, our Lord Jesus gave his life for us. You're worthy. He suffered immensely on a cross. God, you're worthy. God, you brought us through so much. Yes, you have. But Lord, you're with us even now. You're worthy. Lord, won't you be exalted in the lives of your people who are here? Won't you be praised from them, Lord? Won't you help us to stop being worried and fretful? Help us, Lord, to bring ourselves before you and praise you. Praise our way out of that stuff, oh God. God, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we want to be like the multitude in Revelation. Hallelujah. Praise you, O Lord, our God. And God, I know that a person can't praise you unless they truly know you. So I pray that you would help that one who may never have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, doesn't have that praise in their heart. God, I pray that that person would yield, would repent, accept your forgiveness, and accept your offer of love through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And God, I pray for my brother or sister who does know you, but yet they're stuck. Lord, something is holding them back. Holding them back, Lord. Lord, may you do a work and deliver them out of that, Father. Help them to praise now. Tears and all, heartache and all, pain as excruciating as it might be. Help them, Father. If it's nothing more than hallelujah, yes, help them to praise you. So good. You're so good.
Yes.
And we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're here today and you've never trusted our Lord, he says you can come and you can step across the threshold from life to death and give your life to him. And then praise him for what he's done, that he is so moved in your life that he has helped you to see. Give yourself to him as Lord and Savior. Won't you accept the fact that us sinners need a Savior, that he's able to do more for you than you could ask or even imagine. He's able to save you, pull you out, deliver you, set the captives free. He can set you free. Won't you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I repent. Give my life to you. Maybe you're without a church family, and you need to get connected. Won't you accept the fact that God is calling you to be a part of the church family? If you make a decision, won't you do that today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Make that decision today. If it's real, you won't regret it. Let me know. Send me an email, tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Only trust him. Yes.
Only trust him. Only trust him.
Amen. Amen. Every first Sunday, even though the Lord said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me, we could do it more often, but we do it once a month in remembrance of our Lord. We remember his death, burial, and his resurrection. We come to his table. This is traditionally called the Lord's table, but we come to remember his sacrifice for us on the cross, lest we forget, you know, that Jesus gave his life for us, lest we forget the suffering that he endured on his way to the cross, and especially on the cross when he felt the full brunt of the punishment from the Father for our sins. We do this not just as a tradition, but we do it in remembrance of him. Remembrance of him. Can't do away with the Lord's Supper. It's in the Word. He said, do it. Do it in remembrance of him. And so we do. We follow that command. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul writes to church and he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Let us pray. Father, as we come to our Lord's table, we come in remembrance of him. We remember, Father, him on the cross. We remember that he was beaten before he got to the cross. We remember that he was spat upon, Lord. We remember that they put a crown of thorns on his head. Father, we remember that they nailed him to the cross and that they stabbed him in the side with the spear. We remember that, Father. We remember how he struggled physically on that cross for us. And Father, we remember what he went through spiritually, that he suffered that separation from you, Lord, that you forsook him for the forgiveness of our sin. We remember that, Father. We remember the great price that our Lord paid in our behalf. And we come to this table to say thank you. Lord, we don't weep anymore because of it. Lord, we rejoice in what he has done. We may be saddened that our Lord had to go through it, but we're thankful.
Yes.
We're thankful, Lord, because we know we could not have paid the price. So we're grateful that our Lord paid the price in our place, and we come to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible tells us that Jesus was with his disciples in that upper room, and he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." Let us eat together in remembrance of him. After he had eaten, they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the blood of my covenant, which is being shed for you. And we drink this cup in remembrance of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let us drink together in remembrance of him. The Bible says, afterwards, the disciples and Jesus sung a hymn, and they were dismissed. Let us stand together, sing a verse of this hymn, "Way Back." God and Savior, be glory, be majesty, be dominion and power, henceforth, now, and forevermore, at the Church of Jesus Christ together sing.
This Thursday at 5.